Perek Chafei opens up. Vayomer Shmuel, Vayikav to Kol Yisrael, Vayispinuloi, Vayikbaru Beveis HaBerama. Shmuel passed away, he died, all of the Jewish people came, they buried him, they gave a eulogy. Vayakam David Vayered El Midbar Paran. Now, Chazal say that after Shmuel died, it started becoming famous that David was now to be king. Either because the Talmidim, the students of Shaul, were told by the students of Shmuel were told by Shmuel himself that he anointed David to be king, and they started spreading the word, the students of Shmuel, or because again the as we mentioned before, that Shmuel asked Kadosh Baruch Hu not to take away the Malchus from Shaul until he dies.
You mentioned that
before. Right, we mentioned that before. So now that he actually died, it started becoming famous that David is going to be the next king. So,
where exactly? Yeah, yeah.
Parak Chafei.
Chafei.
149.
149.
Oh, 149.
I was 149. Yeah.
We went
by that before.
Right, right.
Basically, Shmi is in the belt, Tells right. I can't hear what he says. I thought he said 129. Okay.
149, yeah.
I'm right with you.
Suppose he base. Now, we're going to see in this parak, actually, that David feels more confident, and he's going to take a few steps to show that he actually is king. Suppose he base continues. Ve'ish b'moin maso b'karmel. There was a man living in Moin. However, his job was in Carmel. Ve'ish gadol moid. He was very wealthy. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He went to go ahead and shear the sheep in the Carmel. His name was Novel, and his wife's name was Abigail. His wife, unlike him, very different to him, she was very beautiful, very wise. Vaish kosha v'rama lalim v'hu kalbi. The man was...
No goodnik,
exactly. Yeah. He was an evil man. Not only was he evil on the outside, but in his nature, he was also a very lowly and evil man. There's sometimes you have a person who has bad personality traits, but sometimes he's going to do the right thing. But no, this guy...
Stingy, all right.
Yeah, no matter what, both in his personality traits, in his psyche, in his the way the person was, he was a very, very bad person.
Why'd she marry him in the first place? No, you got a question.
What a question.
I come and ask you a question. She was good-looking and he was rich.
Yeah. Maybe that was the reason. It doesn't seem like that because she was a very wise woman.
Bad guy, he has a beautiful wife and he was wealthy.
Yeah. Right.
This contradicts what...
We're going to get a beautiful girl, she's going to marry a captain or a poor man.
Right, but...
About it. He had a lot of sheep. What do you want?
How many nice guys without money, without a nice girl?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So this man not only was he evil, but he was very immoral, unethical, and he did everything against
society.
And the pasuk ends off, "Vehu Kalbi," came from the family of Kalev, which means that he was the family of David. They were relatives, not close relatives, but they were distant relatives. The pasuk is now setting the stage to show how evil this person was. Not only was he part of David's family, but he actually lived in the same area. So he knew David, he knew who exactly he was, he knew his family. And we're going to see later on that he completely denies that he knows anything about David. He puts him down, he does not recognize the fact that they're family. We're going to see in the next few psukim. David is now in a bit of a desperate situation. He's got hundreds of men together with him in his camp, and he needs to feed them. So he turns to Novel, a very wealthy man, they're actually family. And we're going to see later on, he actually serviced Naval as well. And he tries to catch him at a good moment. At a positive moment, a moment where he's shearing the sheep. This is a time of simcha, a time of happiness, because he, you know, that's when he realizes how wealthy he is. It was a good time of year. Chazal say that this was actually right before Rosh Hashanah, so usually, typically, people do tshuva, they try to do the right thing. And he tries to approach him at this time, hoping that he'll be generous. Vayishlach David asar na'arim. David sent a whole entourage, a whole group of 10 men. Vayomer David lo na'arim, alu karmela, uvasem al Naval, v'sha'altem loy b'shmi l'shalem. I want you to go over to Naval, and I want you to give him my personal regards. Meaning, David is honoring him. Again, David is supposed to be the next king. And he's honoring him and saying, I want you to give over my personal regards to him to show respect, to give him honor. V'amartam kol achai. The same thing that you're doing now, that you're shearing the sheep, you're gathering all the wool, and you're going to become very wealthy. I'm giving you a bracha that you're going to do the same exact thing in 1 year from now. Kol achai, the same thing next year. V'atal shalom, u'feisach shalom, you should go in peace, your family should go in peace. V'kol shalach shalom, everything that you own should go in peace. Meaning he's giving him blessings, he's honoring him. I heard now that you're shearing the sheep, you're collecting the wool. We were very close to your shepherds. We were very close to your sheep. We did not insult them. We did not hurt them in any way. Not only that, but we protected them. We made sure that no one would cause them any harm. Anytime someone tried to attack them, my men made sure that no one would hurt them. So we actually did a service to you. We're not asking you to pay us for our service, but at least show your gratitude by sharing with us some of your wealth. Sh'al esnarecha ve'gidu lecha. You can ask your men, ask for shepherds. V'imtzu anarim chen be'enecha. I want my men to find favor in your eyes. Kel yom tov banu. We're coming at a good time. This is a happy day for you. We're asking you to please share a little bit with us. David is calling himself, I'm your son. I'm your son. Meaning he's humiliating himself to Naval. Even though he was going to be the king, he's saying, listen, you know, you're a great man, you're very wealthy. I'm humiliating myself and asking you to please supply us with some
food
or wealth or role, yeah, assets. But Avoyunari David, the men of the group of David that David sends, come over to Naval. Vayedabrol Naval b'chol advarim ha'ele b'shem David. They speak all the words that David asked them to. Vayenuchu. They did not add on anything from their own. They said exactly what David said. They didn't add anything. They didn't take out anything. And the pasuk now is stressing that Naval still refused, we're going to see, after everything David made sure that this should be a very, very positive message to Naval. And he's trying to influence him. He's trying to speak to him nicely, to respect him, and the Naarim gave over the message precisely, exactly the way it was supposed to be given over. They didn't change anything, so you can't blame it on that. And there's no reason now that Naval should not go ahead and give David what he's asking for. Now, the Ma'ariv Kro points out also that during the time that they used to typically shear the sheep and cut off the wool, the custom was to prepare a meal to all the workers, to all the shepherds, everyone who was cutting off the wool. And David is now asking him to please share a little bit of that food with David's men, who essentially protecting the sheep of Naval. So we should also be a part of this meal, is what David is really saying. Just like all the other men that worked for you, and all your shepherds, that are now there joining the meal. David's men should be a part of this too. So we're asking for some food, for some supplies. But Yan Novel is Avli David Vayomer. Novel now turns to the servants of David and he says, Me David, me ben Ishai. I never heard of this guy David. I never heard of his father either, Ishai. Now, again, David was related to Novel. He was his family. And he's still denying the fact that he knows him. Not only that, but the Pasuk actually mentions that David was in Midbar Paran, which was where Novel was. That's where Novel lived. So, David was in the area. He knew exactly who David was. It's not like he didn't know. He knew who he was. And he's still denying the fact that he knows him. Not only that, but his father, Yishai, was the Reish Sanhedrin. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was an extremely righteous man. He was one of the Gedolei HaDor, one of the greatest rabbis of the generation. And Chazal say that Yishai was one of the four people in history who died because of the sin of the Nachash. Meaning, every person, most people, They do averas in this world, and they deserve to die on some level, even without the chait of Adam HaRishon. However, Ben Ishai was such a righteous man, he was so righteous, that the only reason he died was only because of the original curse that Hashem cast on Adam HaRishon, that mankind will actually die at the end of the day, the end of his days.
For no reason, I mean, he wasn't punished.
Right.
He didn't have anything to be.
He didn't have anything else for to be punished for. Yeah. That was the only reason that he died. So clearly, Ben Ishai was a very righteous man on a very high level. However, Novel is still refusing to admit to the fact that he knows Ishai and he knows David's family.
Do you know how old he was when he died?
Ishai? I don't know. Okay.
But this does not say. He doesn't know Ishai. He doesn't know his son.
No, he says me David, me ben Ishai.
But
meaning I don't know your father either. I don't know you, and I don't know your father.
It's direct translation from Hebrew.
Me David, who is David? Me ben Ishai, who is the son of Ishai?
Ah, but what says who is son Ishai? He doesn't know who is son. He doesn't say who is Ishai. He is who is son.
Right. But he's basically repeating the same thing twice. Well, he's saying who's David and who's the son of Ishai.
This is kind of conclusion. He doesn't know him. But this is directly say who is son Ishai. It means I know who Ishai, but I know who his son is.
Right. But it's really
Ishai was dead before, though. He was killed.
Right. Ishai was killed by Melech Moav.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we saw that previously.
Yeah.
Right. But not only that, he's also alluding to the fact that David is rebelling against Shaul. He's saying there are many, many slaves who are now leaving their masters, rebelling against them. Meaning you're a very lowly person, you're just like another slave who's rebelling against his master. Why should I support you? Why should I give you anything? You don't deserve it. There's nothing special about you, right? If it was like, if you were like some kind of hero who was rebelling against, the enslavement, then that's one thing. But everyone does that today. There's nothing unique, nothing special. There's no reason why I should accommodate you one bit. I'm gonna supply food to my men, to my servants, my slaves, the people who I actually know, but the people that I never heard of, why should I give them anything? Why should I give them anything? They don't deserve it. The men of David turn back, they return to David. They go back to David and they tell him exactly what happened with Novel. David turns to his men and he says, "Chigru ish es charboy, ve'achru ish es charboy, ve'achru gam David es charboy." He says, "Hold on to your swords," and everyone, each one of them held on to his sword, and David also held on to his sword. David now gathers a group of 400 men, and 200 sat back in the camp.
So were they going to go rob him?
No.
No. So Chazal say that what actually happened one was that David established a Sanhedrin of 23 Dayanim. And because 23 Dayanim are usually the number that you need for Dinin Nefashos, for deciding if you want to kill somebody. Mm. And the way Basin was set up was, it was set up in a half circle. And someone would announce the question, the matter that they were dealing with, and they would start, everyone would present their opinion, starting from the smallest, the lowest dayan, the lowest judge, the least important. Why is that? Because we want to make sure that everyone expresses their true feelings and their true opinion. If we start off with the senior judge,
the other guy will be okay.
Then the right, exactly. The other guy is going to be, if the senior judge thinks that, then who am I to disagree? Yeah, I guess, you know, right. He's right and I'm wrong. So he's not going to express his true opinion. That's why we make sure to start from the end, from the lowest judge, the lowest ranking judge, and we build up. We build ourselves up all the way to the top judge. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, V'yachiru ish escharboi, meaning the sign that the judge would show to express the fact that he held that you should actually kill Naval was to put on his sword. V'yachiru ish escharboi. So every man put on his sword. Then it says after that, v'yachor David escharboi. At the end, after everyone expressed their opinion, David, who was the highest ranking judge, he was the one who expressed his opinion at the end. That's why it says at the end, v'yachor David escharboi. David was the one towards escharv, and so they paskin that Naval is chayv misa. Because he was married the Malchus. So he gathers a group, and they're now going to actually kill Naval, because he's rebelling against the king. Now we see that David is gaining confidence. He himself is believing that he's king, he's going to be the next king, and he's actually going to act on that and kill Naval. V'Avigail, Eshes Naval, Higin Nahar Echad Man Arim Lamar. One of the servants of Naval goes over to Abigail, the wife, and tells her, listen, David is now is planning on killing Naval. David is now sending messengers from the desert to kill our servant, to kill our master. You should be careful. This servant of Naval who was warning Abigail is assuring her that everything David spoke to Naval was actually true. Meaning, the claim of David that they deserve to be supplied by Naval is a true argument. Because they actually did provide a service to the shepherds of Naval, to the men of Naval. And because of that, they deserve to be paid by Naval. They were some kind of wall around us. They were protecting us during the day and during the night. They made sure that no one would cause us any harm. I want you to go ahead. You're the only one that I can talk to. You're the only one that will listen to me to make sure that David does not attack the house of Naval, because there's no point in talking to him. The man is evil, lowly and deceitful. There's no reasoning. He has no reasoning, and there's no point in talking to him. He's not going to listen to me. But Tamar Abigail goes ahead. Batikach matayim lechem ushnayim nivle yoyin v'chamesh tzayin asuyas v'chamesh tzayim koli u'mat timukim matayim dvelim v'tasim al chaverim. She gathers a large amount of food, 200 loaves of bread, two jugs of wine, five sheep, five saw of roasted flour, eggs and figs.
He brings 200 pieces of loaves of bread, only two bottles of wine.
Well, I'm saying the jugs. First of all, the jugs
will last too long with all these guys.
The jugs were big, but you don't drink it like water. You drink it.
There's a reason why she did
it's
it.
It's not
I
a
suppose.
Bottle.
It's a jug.
I mean, five sheep ready dressed. How much can five sheep feed? So he had a whole bunch of men with him. I mean, there must be a reason why she's taken this amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so clearly there's a reason.
See what I mean? I cannot 200 fills of bed. Good, I can satiate plenty of people, but only two bottles of wine and only five sheep.
Right. Well, the point is, Chazal saying she wanted to make sure that Neville would not notice that she took anything. She had to be very careful, because if Neville will find out, yeah, he'd be furious. Well, we're going to see later on what happens.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to see what she does in order to disguise the fact that she's supplying David with food. She's telling her servants, I want you to go ahead before me. She wants to make sure that she's the last one to leave to ensure the fact that Neville does not find out that she's taking this food. Because if he does, he's going to stop her, and then he's going to hurt her, hopefully. Probably. I'm now going to follow you. I want you to go in first, right? I'm going to cover up for you. No one's going to notice. Well, the Isha Naval, lo yigida. She did not say a word to her husband Naval, because she knew that it would not be a good idea. As she's traveling on the donkey, v'yordas b'ses arhar, she's coming down on the side of the mountain. V'ina David ba'anoshav yordim l'kras avitiv kosh oisam. David are coming down from the other end, and he meets her in the middle. But David Omar.
What did he need so many people for, David?
What did David need so many people?
No.
Well, he needed to protect himself. He knew that he was being, potentially chased by Shaul. He had to have some kind of group with him at all times.
Did Naval have that many people with him? I don't know.
No, he wasn't trying to protect himself from Naval, rather from Shaul and the people that were loyal to Shaul. But David Omar, David now, he sees all these servants and all this food. What does he say? Achla sheker shamarti skar shel azeb amidbar. There was our whole mission of protecting Naval and his men and his shepherds was pointless. I didn't get anything from it. I made sure that nothing was harmed from his flock. He did not return the favor that I had done to him.
Evil for good.
Evil for good. David is now threatening to his men and saying, I'm going to make sure that by morning, none of the males in his family will remain alive. Meaning, I'm going to kill out everybody. Because he deemed them all meridim b'malchus, rebelling against the king. V'ter Abigail is David. Abigail now sees David. V'tamar v'teret ma'al chamor, she gets off the donkey. V'tepim l'alapi David al-panev v'tishtachu ar-aretz. She falls. She bows down to him. She gives him respect. V'tipal al-ragla v'toymer. She comes over to his legs and she says, "Bi adoni adoni avin, bi ani adoni avin." I'm taking full responsibility for what had happened with Naval. But I'm asking you, please listen to what I have to say before you go ahead and decide to kill Naval. She's a good wife. She wants to protect her husband, even though she knows he was an evil man. She still is doing everything in her power to protect her husband. That's what a good woman she was, a good wife. Don't pay any attention to this man, Naval, because his name reflects on who he is. Naval means evil. evil, bad, lowly. She's saying that his name reflects on who he is, and that's the kind of person he is. If I knew and I saw that you sent men to ask for food and for supplies, I would have made sure that they would be granted. But because I didn't know that you sent men, I couldn't have given to you. Now that I found out, I'm coming over with a large amount of food to give it over to you. That Adoni Chaya Hashem Chinavshicha Shemenacha Hashem Bedamim Veshead Yot Chalucha Vata Yu Kenaval Ivecham VeMavakshim El Adoni Ra. She is now referring to three stages in David's life. She's referring to the first stage in David's life when he was first recognized, when he killed Goliath. And she's telling him, just like you killed Goliath, you should make sure that the only enemies, the only people you kill are the enemies of the Jewish people. Make sure not to kill anybody else. Because if you end up killing Jewish people, even though you're right, you might be right, there might be murder mamachus, the rebellion against the king. However, people will remember that, and later on, they're going to hold you responsible for killing Jews. So make sure that it stays the way it was when you killed Goliath. Just like then you only killed the enemies of the Jewish people, so too now you should make sure to only kill the enemies of the Jewish people. I want to save you from killing Jews. V'ata bracha zayis shahevi shiv chasech la adoni v'nita lan arim v'msalchim beragle adoni. I want to bring you a blessing, and I would like to hand to you all the food that I brought. Son al pesha masecha, I'm asking to please forgive everything that I had done wrong. For not supplying you food, ki aso yase Hashem la'adoni be'esnem al kimlchomes Hashem adoni nilcham v'ro l'simotze b'cho mi'amecha. I want to make sure that, as we mentioned before, that you only fight the fights of the Jewish people and you do not turn against the Jewish people themselves. V'yogam adam l'rdofcha u'levakesh es nafshcha. I'm giving you a bracha that your life should be protected, and the life of your enemies should be put in kafakela. Kafakela is the worst type of punishment that a neshama can get. It's as if you put a rock in the slingshot and you shoot it. It's not the only time it gets shot. You put it in the slingshot, it gets shot, and then it gets picked up and gets shot again. So it basically has no rest, time to rest. It has no manucha. It keeps on getting shot from one place to the other. So too, your enemies will keep on getting thrown from one place to the next, and they'll never have any rest. I'm giving you a bracha that when you actually become king, you should be a fair king to the Jewish people. And the nevuah that Shmuel prophesied will actually take place in the future. I don't want this episode of you killing Nabal to cause you any damage or harm in the future. Pukwa means, there's an expression in Hebrew, pikraglaim. When the knees give in, it's called pikraglaim. They just give in and the person collapses. So too, I don't want this to be collapsing for you and your men. To pour innocent blood. I'm giving you a bracha that you should do the right thing, and Hashem should do good for you, and you should remember me and not kill my family. The Gemara and Megillah actually brings a description of Abigail coming over to David, and she hands him a mare. She gives him a mare, and she says, "Why don't you check the mare and see if I'm tame or I'm tar, if I'm pure or impure." So David turns to her and he says, "V'chim baitkim maras b'layla? can you check Amara at night? There are many places we hold that you're not allowed to look at Amara during the night. And so Abigail turns back to David and she says, V'chidonim dinin nefashos b'layla? You're asking me, how could I give you Amara during the night? How could you go ahead and dan dinin nefashos, judge someone to death during the night? The halacha is, you're not allowed to judge anyone to death at night, only during the day. So David says, it's not true. And that is not exactly dinin nefashos, because this man, Nabal, is a merid b'machlus. He's rebelling against the king. That is, does not fall under the category of dinin nefashos. I don't need a judgment. I don't need a basin, really, to go ahead and kill him. He's rebelling against the king. I'm allowed to kill him on the spot without any basin. So Abigail turns to him and he says, you're right. However, you are not yet famous around all amongst all the Jewish people that you are now king. Most people still hold that Shaul is king, and it was not well accepted that you're king yet. Therefore, you cannot deem Nabal to be a merid b'machlus because you're not fully king yet. So finally, Abigail manages to kill. To hold David back from killing Nabal, and she's asking him to please remember me when you become king. At the end, David turns to Abigail and he says, "Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shalechech Hayoyim Likrasi." It's a good thing that Hashem sent you because now you stopped me from killing Nabal. Baruch Tameich Ruchat. You are blessed. Your reasoning is blessed. Asher Kilisana Yoyim Azem Yubayim V'Damim V'Sheya Yodin Li. You now saved me from killing innocent people. V'ulam Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shemanani Mara Esach. Hashem saved me from harming you. If you would not have come so fast to stop me from killing Nabal, then I would have made sure that by morning there would not be one male left in the family of Nabal.
Going back to Pasuk Lamed Beis.
Yeah.
Vayomer David La'Avigal.
Oh, you're saying why did he take out the yud?
Why is Abigail? The rest of the whole time it's Abigail.
I don't know.
You see what I mean? Vayomer David La'Avigal. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. It's Abigail.
The way it is written.
Oh, so
it's not Abigail. It's Abigail.
Yeah. So the Medrash says that the reason why the Yud was taken out from her name was because she Nafna Bayanel when she was still in Eshes Ish, meaning she kind of was hoping to be married to David when she was still married to her husband Nabal. Because of that, she was punished, and the Yud was taken out from her name.
I thought a king old could marry a Pesula.
Well, first of all, he wasn't king yet.
Huh?
He wasn't king yet, yeah. But it's a Kohen Gadol.
Kohen Gadol, right?
Yeah. It's Kohen Gadol could only marry a Pesula.
I thought a Melech.
Melech?
I don't think so.
If you're a Melech, I don't know.
He's not a Kohen. He doesn't protect well everybody. But he's just a person. So this king, he doesn't become a Kohen or a Levi from that.
In any case, she convinces David not to kill Nabal, not to kill her family. Veikach David miyado es asher hevia lo'i. David takes from her hand everything she brought, all the food she brought. V'lo omar ali l'shalom l'veisech, go in peace to back to your house. Ri shamati b'koylech v'es apanayich. I will now listen to you, and I will not destroy your family. V'tomer v'gayel el Nabal. V'gayel goes back to Nabal. V'hina lo'i mishta v'veisei, Nabal is completely clueless to the fact that his life was in danger. He's now having a party in his house. Kimishta Melech Velib Nabal Toiv Olav. He's having a great time. Vushikar Ad Night. He was very drunk. Vlegadal Dover Kotam the Gadal Ad or Haboker. Ad or Haboker. She didn't want to disturb his party. She didn't want to
upset
him during his happy time. And because he knew that he was very drunk, and if she told him right now, in his drunken stupor, he would actually get enraged and hurt her. That's why she waited until the morning, and she did not say a word. Vehi babaker betzis novel ayay mi novel v'tagal la'ishla esadvarim me'ela v'yamasim v'bekirba yuhu hayal avin. The morning came, and she told Nabal everything that happened, everything she gave David, and Nabal was distraught. Now, this illustrates the fact of what an evil man he actually was. You have people, it's very hard to convince them to give tzedakah, but once you convince them, they're actually happy about giving tzedakah. Like the Rambam says, that a person really wants to give to do mitzvahs, but you have the Yetzer Hara who's stopping him from doing mitzvahs. And once he actually does it, he feels good about it. However, Nabal, even after it was already given, it was already done. You can't retrieve it. You can't take it back. And still, Nabal was very upset about it. And he's broken. He's distraught.
He became a stone.
He became a stone, yeah. Be'ikasar sayomim, be'ikav shemes Nabal, be'yomais. Chazal say this is actually the Aseres Yomim that it's talking about over here is actually Aseres Yomim Tshuva. And during these Aseres Yomim Tshuva, Nabal had the opportunity of doing Tshuva, of turning back, changing his ways, but he passed the opportunity, and because of that, he actually ended up dying. Okay, we have to stop over here because it's time for Marev. We'll continue from here next week. Yeah, there's a few more psukim left until the next paragraph.
I want to, before you leave,